a lot of businesses will grow at any cost, right? And they forget about the idea that the company still needs to be profitable when they're growing.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us again on the podcast. I am super excited to introduce you to my guest, Marcia Reiner. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tori. Thanks for having me.
So for the people who are listening who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm a business growth strategist, and I call myself the brainchild behind my brand, Profit Booster. And my company is Infinite Profit, and I help growth-minded business owners that are already in momentum to increase revenue and drive growth. So they're actually creating an asset that's great now and an even better opportunity later on when they want to sell it. They'll be in a much better position.
Yeah. Well, let's dive right in and talk about what are some of those first signs a business is ready to move from growth to profitable growth?
You know, that's a really good, really good question, because when you think about the differentiation between growth and profitable growth, they're miles apart.
Right.
In many instances, because a lot of businesses will grow at any cost, right? Mm. You know, they're just trying to hit that certain number of clients or, you know, widgets that are going out the door. And they forget about the idea that the company still needs to be profitable when they're growing. And so when you have profitable growth, that means your expenses are in line, right? Mm-hmm. They're manageable, and your cost of goods, whether you sell one or 100, are still making money for the company. Yeah. And that's super important for your business today as well as later on.
Yeah. And I think for me, I know when I started my business almost 6 years ago now, I wasn't an entrepreneur before that. I worked in corporate. And so for me, I was a creative. I do marketing. That was my talent. I was a technician in that space. So business development, financial understanding, business growth was never something or a skill that I had when I came to the table. So it was always something that I had to learn and still continue to learn. And so it was so interesting over the years, right? Lessons learned, books
Hard
read.
Lessons learned.
Yeah. Lessons learned, books read, podcasts listened to. And I still feel like there are so many entrepreneurs out there who don't understand how to set aside profit for their business. And for me, it wasn't until I read the book Profit First that I really had this awakening or understanding of really how you separate your money and the revenue that you bring in for profitable growth.
Yeah, exactly. That's a fantastic book. It does require that your business is profitable first to be able to pay yourself first and to align the dollars with intention, right?
Yeah.
And I think people miss that. So when we're entrepreneurs, you are not, you know, a singled out case saying that you didn't know about this stuff. You know, most business owners get into business with this idea that they want to leave the man and go out on their own, but they don't have those skills like you mentioned.
Yeah.
So making sure that, you know, you're looking at your numbers. I am not an accountant or CPA. I came out of the financial services space. I understand numbers really well, but I think business owners forget to look at well, really, truly, what does it cost me to open my doors each month, right? And what does it cost me to make or deliver my offer, my widget? So if there's cost of goods sold, that works also for service professionals that are delivering, like marketing, right? But I mean, people forget to look at that stuff and they rely on their bookkeeper, and their bookkeeper's like, okay, your numbers match, and that's all their job is. Or you go to your accountant or CPA and they go, well, let's take some tax deductions, go buy a truck at the end of the year because you've got some profit that we want to not have you pay taxes on. That's not always the right plan. You want to have cash flow that says if an opportunity to maybe buy more products or to invest in an opportunity, you need that cash that's available for you to take advantage of opportunities. And if you're spending it as quickly or faster than you make it, which a lot of us do in early phase businesses, then you can't take that opportunity to stock up on the product you use to make your product, right? And so, yeah.
I was just going to say, what are some of those small steps? Like, 'cause I know, like, you talk about like at early stages, and then you have to transition into the next phase of your business in order to do those things. What are some of those like little things that you can do to increase cash flow, to, build profitability? What are like some of those basic steps or starting points?
Well, when you think about it, it is really to the bare simplicity of, you've got revenue coming in minus expenses equals profit, right? that's at the bare core. So, where do you look at your growth opportunity? You look at where can I improve the revenue? That doesn't necessarily mean one more phone call, one more client. It might be your pricing structure. It might be the market that you're going into. It might be the next logical product that you offer after your initial product, so you can have longer term relationships or repurchase opportunities from your existing client. Those are just some ideas that you look at when you're looking at the revenue side. When you're looking at the expense side, I have this really simple question I ask the expenses that I'm looking at. And by the way, you really should be looking at your expenses on a regular basis. I would encourage at least monthly to take a peek at what is actually coming in versus what's going out and what is actually going out, right? And you ask yourself these three questions. Does that expense create a client? Does it keep a client customer? Does it create longer lifetime value? More money that I can get from that customer. If that expense falls into at least two out of three of those categories, you should consider keeping it, but maybe you can fine-tune it, renegotiate it, something along those lines. If it doesn't, kick it to the curb. You really don't need your spouse's cell phone bill or car lease on your business lines, right? On your bottom lines, even though your accountant's saying, let's run everything through the company. And so
Or it's
that's
almost
where profitability actually starts to make sense.
And it's almost like, too, a lot of times in this day and age, it's like the shiny object syndrome. Like, there's a new app that's going to do X, Y, and Z for you, and there's this new thing that's going to, boost your profitability because you t like. So there's all these things that I think entrepreneurs are seeking this validation or external opportunity from, and maybe try it out, right? Try a 14-day trial or like those
Exactly.
types of things, but then make sure if it's not working after a certain amount of time that it goes away.
Exactly. Ask those questions,
Ask those three questions. That's perfect.
and I think the other thing that we do as entrepreneurs that I think get us off track or derailed is we create a plan January, right? Hopefully you're creating it in September, October for January. But I know, right? That's just the planner in me. But you have this plan, you start out this intention in January, and you're rolling strong, and January has all these great things. And here goes a squirrel across the screen, right? And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Ask yourself when that squirrel or shiny object pops up. Here's that reality check again. Does this align with my current plan or direction or objectives that I'm trying to shoot for this quarter, this month, right? And then, hey, I promise you, if it's for sale now, it'll be for sale later on, probably at the same price later on, and you're not going to miss out.
Well, let's jump into your profit booster program and the growth map, because I know that I think aligns a lot with what we're talking about, but I'd love to hear how that came about and a little bit more about the structure of that, what that does for business owners.
Great. Thank you so much. The Profit Booster Growth Map actually came out of an awareness thing. So as I've mentioned a couple times, I am a planner at heart. And I think that when you have a strategy and a plan and a direction you're moving in, you move more agile, more intentionally, you get more done, you're more focused. And I think that alignment is really important for business owners. And that growth map is just a little snapshot of what can I do in the next 90 days that would actually move me closer to my goal, right? The goal could be, gee, I want to move into this new market with a product, or I want to go from this level of revenue to that level of revenue, or I want to streamline my operations so I can let go of the girl that's going to have a baby in the next, 2 months. Whatever. I mean, there's 100 different things that we can have as goals. It's not always making the cash register ring. So when you know what you want to do, that requires clarity. And then, honestly, what's the next best move to help me get closer to that? And then, how can I get that into action so I start to see those results in the next 90 days? It may be that, some initiatives take a little while to get the momentum going. Some initiatives happen like that, right? You just implement one thing and it pans out. As a marketer, right, that when you start an ad, a paid ad, it takes months to start to really get moving, right? So nothing happens overnight, and you need to be able to say, okay, my goal was X, and I need to do Y to do it. And my measurement is Z. Did it happen? How soon did it happen? And then what can I do to improve that? So the growth map is really just kind of the clarity, what's the next best idea? And I think, again, it really brings you back in, right? Because the shiny squirrels and shiny balls that are running around, we get misdirected easily.
And I think one of the things that I love about it is the 90-day approach, right? Because as like you said, if you plan, you plan for your year, by the time you get halfway through the year, something may have shifted,
Or the first quarter.
or the first quarter, And so it's so interesting because I think more and more people are adopting this approach of like 90-day sprints, if you will, because there's a couple options, right? Like 90 days it takes to ramp up, right? But then also 90 days, a lot of things can happen, a lot of things can shift. And so you set your goals in those time slots, and then you get to that 90 days and you're like, okay, what worked, what didn't work, what do we shift, where do we go? And you either move forward, push forward, or pivot.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's the big thing that many business owners in the smaller space, right? We're talking, they're already in momentum, they're striving for a couple million in revenue, or maybe they're striving for 100,000 in revenue. What they miss is that it takes that time to think about your business, right? Look at the initiatives that you're trying to run, and then run those and compare them to what your goals are. People don't do that. They chase clients, put out fires, chase clients, put out fires. Shiny object comes in, they go down that path, and then they go, oh, wait a minute, weren't we over here? No, wait, we should be there, right? And they lose their way. And it's really sad. But I think that with this kind of a growth plan, like my profit booster growth plan or any growth plan that you have, That 90-day window, as you suggested, is a perfect time to go, let's give it some air to breathe. Let's let it run a little bit. And then let's look back and go, did it work? What did work? What didn't work? How can we improve it? How can we make it bigger, better, faster, stronger, cheaper to do? And I think that happens very easily with just a week. I like to do it Friday afternoons. You know, take Friday afternoon, take an hour and go, okay, what did my week look like? What did I do? Right? Maybe it's once a month. Maybe you get your team to do this as well, to look at what they're doing so they can evaluate and then make better decisions the next week.
I think it's all perspective, right? You have to know what you're doing before you can understand what you're not doing, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. I love it. So again, the planner at heart in me says, let's have a plan. Let's look at the plan. Let's execute the plan, and then let's look at it again.
Well, so we talk about, profitability, and we talk about planning and building a growth map. I'd love to tie in visibility to this because, as we are talking about profit and growth, there's naturally going to be visibility of your business, right? And that obviously that's the goal, is to be visible, to be heard, to be seen, to be known. How do you monetize that visibility?
Oh, great question. Because, again, those shiny objects say, oh, you got to have AI now, or oh, you've got to be on every social platform, or oh, you've got to, all these things. But in reality, if you build your business and you sit there and wait for the phone to ring, it's not going to ring. So you have to be visible. And there are many different ways and strategies and beliefs to get you visible that would help you be out in the public so your ideal customer can find you. And then when you figure out where your ideal customer is actually looking, step one, then you can craft a message that actually aligns with that ideal customer, whether it's if you're on social media, what's going to catch their attention, right? If you're on a TV ad or a billboard, right? What are you saying repeat, that is actually going to get their attention for that short minute of time to think about it. And then, as we all know, repetition, right? It used to be you had to be seen 7 to 10 times
Oh my
before they would
goodness.
make a move. Oh my goodness. No, it's 20 or 30 times now, and it has to be repetitive. And then it has to hit them. If you think about your buyer who's inundated with like just everything these days, you have to hit them at the perfect time, right? That their problem is actually, they're thinking about it, and up pops your ad or your image or your message to them that they're like, yeah. And then it starts. That's when the visibility starts. So it's not just grabbing their attention, it's the long nurture that you take with that person once you grab their attention. And that nurture, I love emails. I love more content and value-driven content that actually gives them more reason to step closer to you, right? You caught their attention, which is a million-dollar ad of sort. Now it's like, how do you re-grab their attention? Because somebody else is grabbing their attention, and engage that in keeping them going until they are ready to give their credit card. That could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a year. So that visibility that you have throughout your marketing plan is the word, right? Throughout that marketing plan has to be consistent and keep continuously talking to that ideal customer so that when they're ready, their toothbrush breaks, their electric toothbrush breaks, and they're ready to buy a new one, you popped ahead, to mind.
One of the other things that I think is important as you're talking, I'm thinking about measurability. Like, how are you measuring the success, the visibility, the profit? Because I think those are also key components to what we're doing, and obviously measuring your success, because if you don't, it's like KPIs. Like, you always have to set KPIs, And so I'm curious if you had like a profit dashboard, right?
I do.
And there were three metrics. What are the three metrics that you should track for to measure?
I love that. Really good. So again, we go back to that, review every month and Friday afternoon, looking at your numbers and the actions, and are you on point and track? I like to, when you're looking at visibility, right? One of my mentors and dear friends put out a really funny, like 30-second video, and she's on her laptop in the bank, and she says, "I'd like to deposit these likes." And I thought that was flipping hilarious because you can't deposit likes, right? Thumbs up and oh, that was great. How you do it is you have to engage. So what you're really measuring, and what I feel you're measuring, is how do you get the conversation started? Where they not just give you a thumbs up, but then they move closer to you because you offered them something free of value, or you had a question that they answered, and then you could start the conversation with them. I think that's a better measurement is, did I get a conversation started with that person? That's a really important measurement that I think we go into. Then, of course, we look at how long is the sales cycle. So how long did I have to nurture them before I could start that conversation? And then how long did it take me to go through the sales cycle of from conversation to maybe it's presentation. It might not actually be making an offer, but let me show you what I can do for you, right? There's so many phases of the life cycle of a customer, from the scroll stopping look to, them giving a credit card. I think all of those little moments in their nurturing cycle is what you're looking at to drive that. Because when you could say, well, gee, it took me 12 views or three things that I gave them before they initiated a phone call to me, well, then I have to look at, well, how can I improve those three things? How can I shorten that cycle, right? Those are the questions we ask ourselves that's going to bring us more money and is going to make us more profitable. And it's also going to make us very, very attractive when we go to sell our company sometime down the road.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think a lot of times people look at metric the wrong metrics, vanity metrics, as I call them.
Exactly. Or they look at their bank account all the time, and I'm like, well, that's not going to do you any good. What are you doing to fill that bank account? Let's look at those metrics.
Exactly. What are those actions? What do those look like?
Actions is the other thing. They look, but they don't do.
Oh, very true.
Yeah.
Talk a
They
little bit
don't
more
change
about
anything.
that. Like making like we've talked about like the recognition and measuring stuff, but now it's taking action. What are some steps or action steps that you can take to move the needle forward?
I love this one because you know what? I've been a consultant and an advisor all of my life in my financial career, in my business career. And it took me to a couple of years ago where I noticed I would come to my clients with this fantastic plan that we developed together and all these ideas and these initiatives we were going to do, and crickets, nothing would get done. Because they either didn't have the team, they didn't have the technology or know-how, or just the ability to implement the strategies. And I think that's where a lot of people dream of, oh, even the shiny object, but they don't do it. So that implementation piece of every plan is so incredibly important. Whether you do it, you have a team member do it, you bring on an agency that does it, or a partner that does it, you hire out, whatever. It's got to move. So that's the key piece, is you could dream it, design it, and then make it happen, right? And I think even when you're looking at your metrics, right, and you go, okay, that ad isn't working. Well, what do you do? Did you give it enough time? Did 100 people see it? Did they click on it? You have the understanding of what it was supposed to do, the KPIs. Then you have to make that decision. Pull the plug, shift it, go a different direction, but you can't do that unless you reevaluate. So that action step afterwards is like, it's so important.
Oh, so amazing. I mean, I feel like we could go down a whole nother conversation just around action and implementation, because, you know, like you said, with strategy and no implementation, it's half the equation.
Yes, but it's I have to say, it is probably the most common step missed.
I agree. Definitely.
You know, and that's where people like you and I, Tori, I mean, we can come in and it's like, well, let me help you.
Yeah.
Right? Let me help you put this into play.
Yeah.
And help you evaluate it and get it going. So that way now you can make a clear decision of, yeah, that works. Or yeah, that was my ideal client. Or yeah, that was the problem that they had. Or yeah, my product really could move to that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these are questions that AI can help you craft
Absolutely.
an answer, but if you're not taking that last step of testing it out, it's no good.
It's like I always say, a goal without a plan is just a wish.
And there's a lot of wishers out there.
Yeah. Well, Marcia, it has been so amazing talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing all of this insight, knowledge. I know this feels like it was just the tip of the iceberg, but
of course,
I'd love for you to share how people can find you, learn more about you, and you know, put themselves in your world to continue moving forward.
I love it. That's exactly the play that I want. You know, I don't want, yes, of course I want people throwing credit cards at me, but what I want people to see and what great platforms, podcasts like yours, Tori, actually do for us is they give us the visibility, right?
Yeah.
To share our message and our thought process and what we do. But the next thing is, how do we get them closer to us so we can begin that conversation and that nurture? Not sell you my junk, you know, but to get you more value so you could start to consider if I'm a solution for you. So I love this idea. What I've done, I'm on social media, posting knowledge base and content and that kind of stuff. But really, if you go to my profitbooster.biz, you can actually start to see what I do and how I help my customers. But you can also grab that growth map, which is a free GPT that helps us create this. You know, it's not a phone call. It's not me pushing sales on you. It's you getting some value and going, what's my next best move? What am I offering? Who's my client? And what's my next best move? And if you can do that, then you're going to start to see some headway. And then you're going to go, wow, Marcia was actually pretty good on that point and helped me out. I wonder what else she could do for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I think a really valuable piece of content that, you know, the customer can use or the listener can use can really move that forward. So that's why I do it. And I thought I'd share that because then they know it's not this big sales pitch. But yeah, profitbooster.biz, there's a link on there for your growth map. And it's a fun little GPT that can help you come up with some answers that can help move you forward.
Perfect. And we'll definitely put that in the show notes so that they can click on that and go directly there. I encourage you to check it out, connect with Marcia, start to learn how she can help you make your business profitable and successful in growth.
I love it.
And so just thank you so much for being a guest. I appreciate having you here.
Oh, Tori, thank you. Thank you for doing what you do. It is a thankless role to be a host, but you know what? It's so valuable and I really appreciate you doing it. So thank you.